doesn't get much more local than this. It's the Drive Guys, Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason, coming to you from the Golden One Center, where some pregame workouts are underway, Kyle.
Yeah, we got some of the young guys out there, Colby Jones, Jordan Ford, Slauson's out there. You know, the usual routine. I'm waiting on the Pelicans to get out here. They haven't been out warming up
no
yet.
No shows. They're not.
Yeah, they know what's in store for them, right? They don't even want to show up, you know?
Yeah, although if they read John Hollinger today in The Athletic, the Pelicans have to be feeling very, very confident. John Hollinger, for those who may not know, he used to be with the Grizzlies, right? He was in their analytics department, and he writes for The Athletic. And so he's a guy that not only knows the game, but he's been inside the NBA circles. He's been in the front office. He just doesn't seem to really be real excited about what the Kings have done last couple of years.
Yeah, it's, you know, and we've said it time and time again. There are certain people, when they write about your franchise, Sacramento Kings fans, you got to tune them out. Or at least be ready for your blood pressure to be raised. Hollinger is one of those guys.
And you've been trying to get him on the show, right? I think Jay's tried to get him on the show.
Yeah, we tried to get him on, tried to get Kevin O'Connor to come on as well. Like, there's a certain, you know, subsection of NBA media types who are afraid to come on our show. I wonder why, you know? And I might try and get Amin El-Hassan because he's a you know, a Sacramento hater in
the past.
That
surprises me, because I think he usually knows what he's talking
about. Yeah, and that's my guy. I might have to get him on one of these. Maybe he could set somebody straight here, because this Hollinger stuff, I read the article you're about to bring up, man, and it's just another trash hit on Sacramento.
By the way, speaking of people in the media, we got Mr. Spears is going to be here tonight. I was just looking to see where I was going to sit. You got Anthony Slater's here, Kendra Andrews here. So for this knockout round, this is a big dang deal.
National types are out here, and this is a huge game, man, and the Kings got to get this win. You can't go down 0-3 to the Pelicans. You know, think about it. When you look at it, they've lost to what? Four teams now, three of them twice, you know?
Right. So Rockets, Pelicans, Warriors.
And Warriors, yeah.
So, and they lost a game to the Clippers.
To the Clippers. So you got to get this one tonight.
Mm-hmm. Now, just going back to what we were talking about before the break, as you pointed out, down the stretch of that game against the Warriors, you were feeling comfortable because you realized, okay, if they lose, they're not going to lose by 11 or more. That said, and I'm sure you guys talked about this, but how much more important was it for them to actually win that game?
That was massive, you know, from a psychological standpoint, from a big brother, little brother standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and
you just had to do it at some point.
You had to
beat them.
Do it, exactly. And it's one of those things, once you get over the hump, you prove to yourself you can do it, and to do it in the fashion they did. Come back from 24 down. Remember, that first half, they were getting run out of their own building. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, is this what we're going to do, Sacramento? Is this what we're going to do, Kings? But to battle back the way they did, you know, Draymond got the flopping.
Well,
he should have got the flopping. He should have got the flopping. He got the technical foul for, you know, mocking the referee, and it all fell apart. And, you know, I said it the other day. It was Saturday. The Warriors blew a 22-point lead to the Clippers. They got some real issues.
They do.
And so to see Sacramento overcome that, you know, you got two franchises that are sort of heading in opposite directions. The future's bright for the Kings. The Warriors, they got some question marks. They got some decisions to make.
Coach Kerr, and I'm a big fan of Coach Kerr, but he didn't have his best game.
Not at all. Not, you know, and where I was sitting, I was able to see, you know, some of the communications he had with the referees and with Draymond. And, you know, there was one time Draymond wanted him to challenge a play, and Coach said, I only got one timeout left. It was like 4 minutes left in the game. He's like, Draymond only got one. And so how do you only have one timeout? You know, you got to save those for just those reasons,
right,
in case of a challenge. And then the Moses Moody situation.
Yeah, that's, you know, the one. He even admitted, he's like, I'd probably.
It took him a day, though, to admit it. Afterwards, you know, he sort of poo-pooed it a little bit. You know, I went back with my guys. Moses is doing a great job. And then after watching the film, he said, you know what? I that was a bad move. Moses had three threes. He was their leading scorer in the fourth. He had 11 points, and Steve Kerr yanked him out.
That's got to be
true. It helped us out.
Don't you think as a coach that's the one thing you never want to do, though, is publicly admit you were wrong?
Right.
Never. Because it's like, you guys don't know what I'm seeing. You don't understand.
Right, exactly. Especially in the heat of the moment, right after a game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you get home, when you break down your film, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. They were right. I was wrong. And that's what happened with this.
Yeah, well, is John Hollinger right or is he wrong? He has an interesting angle on the tournament. He talks about how when – the NBA first came up with the idea for the tournament, people knew that it would be maybe some that teams that haven't competed for a championship in a while would really embrace. But he says, in addition to that, you've got a guy like LeBron. He says, look at LeBron. How realistic are the chances this Laker team, you know, months from now is really going to be there at the end competing for a title? Maybe not. So maybe not very realistic. So his point is, a guy like LeBron, maybe he sees this as you know, one of his last moments of his career to really have a significant moment on the biggest stage, the tournament, which I had never thought about.
Right, it is, you know. But, you know, LeBron's still playing for it in his eyes, the NBA championship. But I see what Hollinger is saying there,
Yeah, but he says, does Hollinger, Sacramento would be a favorable matchup for the Lakers if it comes to that. If they both win, that would be the matchup. Wouldn't that be fun?
If I'm correct, pardon me for stopping you.
Yeah, sir, please.
The Kings are 2-0 against the Lakers this season.
I know.
Right? Okay,
I know.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
I know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's where I'm going. He says the Kings would be a favorable matchup for the Lakers because, quote, the speedy Kings have proven a tough matchup for LA, but have no answer for a peak AD.
Didn't DeMontis Sabonis just like own Anthony Davis? Held him to like, what was it? 8 points.
Maybe the Lakers had some. The Kings had something to do with the fact that they didn't see a peak AD. Maybe that was because he was playing against the Kings.
And so that's the stat. DeMontis Sabonis 8-0 against Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Come on, Hollinger.
Again, this is a guy that deals in analytics. Even if you don't agree with him, give me something more than that. He also says, as far as tonight's game, John Hollinger in the Athletic, Pelicans beat the Kings for the third time, as they seem to have the Kings' number. Come on. What? That's all you got?
That's all you got. They got their
Pelicans,
number.
They seem to have their number.
Have their number. Two games down there. The second one was a close one. The second one, if you remember, too, there was an illegal screen that wasn't called in the two-minute report.
Right.
The next day it came out that, you know, it was an illegal screen.
Yeah.
It would have been King's ball. And so, you know, this Hollinger, and what bugs me most about this guy, I read the article. And it didn't even take him more than two sentences to deliver a shot against the Sacramento Kings. Let me read this to you, Whitey, here.
I do think some of this we're, you know, we're seeing maybe more than what is there.
No,
but I'm with
you
because
I saw it too. Trolling us. Let me read this to you. When the idea of an in-season tournament first came up, one of the ideas was that it would be a secondary prize that might be claimed by a team that wasn't a true title contender. A nice chit for some forlorn outposts like Sacramento or Indiana. Come on. Dude, what is he? Now, if you want to say Detroit.
Right.
You want to say Charlotte.
Indiana's
okay.
Legit, right?
Right.
It's like,
Indiana's
okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why you got to throw Sacramento, you know, finished a top four
seed
last year, 48
wins. I'd kind of let that one just roll off my back, but you're absolutely right.
So that's – it makes me think he's trolling us right now. He knows he's not liked up in these parts, and he's trolling us right now.
Mm-hmm. I think the Kings win tonight, and I know I mentioned this earlier. One of the big reasons I think they win is it's because of this. Well, it's the same reason why the Pelicans handled the Kings the first time they played. The Kings were playing their third game in four nights that first time they played them, Pelicans and the Smoothie King, and that's the situation for the Pels tonight. This is their third game in four nights, and that's a tough assignment in this building when the Kings have been in wait for them here.
Yeah, and it's always hard to beat a team three times in a row. And I think, you know, when you look at it, like you said, that first game in New Orleans, second night of a back-to-back, we didn't get in until super late, 1:30, 2 o'clock.
That's a scheduled loss, we call
scheduled,
it. Right?
Scheduled loss,
yeah.
Exactly. Second game, it was a tight game. And if you look at it, and shout-out to De'Aaron Fox, who was named – Western Conference Player of the Week today.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron did not play well in either of those games, I thought, against the Pelicans. You know, the first game, he took 18 shots. 12 of them were three-pointers. And so I think he sort of let them off the hook. I'm looking for a more aggressive De'Aaron Fox getting into the paint, getting to the lane, getting at the free throw line, So I think this is a big game for him. And so what happened in New Orleans, if you're a competitor, right, you remember that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I expect the Kings will come out fired up, ready to go.
Yeah, but they seem to have their number. To me, it's just like one of the weakest of weak reasons.
And he's an analytics guy. Give me some numbers. Give me some fact-based stats here. You know, I just think they got their number, actually.
You didn't even say they have their number. They
seem to have
their number.
It's a lot of lazy sports writing and a lot of lazy narratives going on out there. And, you know, as Hollinger.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Who is that? Jalen Slauson. He dunking on one of the assistants, my guy Sam right there, going down the lane. Look at this. Yeah, we're sitting here watching warm-ups. But, no, man, you know, we got to get Hollinger on. Jay Johnson, we got to get Hollinger on.
You're working on it. Yeah.
If he shows up in this city, comes to a game, man, we're going to have to get him on.
Yep. Now, the one thing about the Pelicans that I still don't have a handle on, maybe you can help. Yeah. I should watch you on the pregame tonight, see what you have to say about this. I'm still not sure what and who they are. I know their players. I know the last couple years, you know, they've had issues with Zion. 2 years ago, they were great in the play-in. They surprised everybody. Last year was, but they're middle of the pack in just about everything if you look at their season stats. But I'm not sure how much that means because they've had so many injured players. Yeah. I don't know who or what they are.
Yeah, and I think they're a middle-of-the-pack kind of team. One minute they'll look great, the next, you know, not so much.
And Ingram and Zion, as the Kings well know, I mean, those two guys are legit.
Yes, they are, but they're coming off a loss to Chicago, who's, you know, not a good team at all. You know, I will say, with C.J. McCollum back, that makes a big difference for them. You know, I think when you look at the Pelicans, they have size, they have length, they have physicality, they have toughness.
I love their coach.
Yeah, Willie Green. They defend the three extremely well, but they're sort of like, you know, they're not good enough to contend and
right.
not good enough to bottom out. Like, you know, when you look at some of the names, like you said, you got Zion, you got Ingram, you got CJ. That's a pretty good big three, you know. And,
yes.
and I think they need health.
They should be further along.
Right.
They haven't improved much the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't improved much, but injuries have robbed them
yes.
of that. You know, Zion only played 29 games last year. CJ missed a stretch this year. I forget the number, but, you know, they're already.
Collapsed lung?
Yeah, collapsed lung. They're already on pace, you know, here in this month, I think, to play more minutes together than they have at any time that they've been together. And so I think they just need some time, some seasoning. They just need to be healthy, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't know if they'll be a contender. But if they make the playoffs healthy, if Zion grows, learns the game a little more, they're going to be a tough out.
That first time the Kings played the Pelicans this year, it being the second night of that back-to-back,
yeah.
it was, what, Sunday Dallas, Monday
yep.
New Orleans.
Yep.
I wasn't very optimistic, but tonight I really like the Kings' chances.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Sacramento's coming off, you know, a huge win against Denver. You know, one thing I want to make sure we don't do is get behind early. You know, we've been seeing that a lot. These last few games. But this is a Pelicans team with that size and length I mentioned that has given Sacramento some trouble
mm-hmm.
in recent memory. And so I think what we'll see tonight from Sacramento, a lot of speed. You know, you're trying to get Zion to have to run defensively.
Yeah.
A lot of threes getting up. And so I expect a good effort tonight.
1 month in, it remains the Kings' biggest concern. We'll tell you what that is when we come right back to the Golden 1 Center. Drive, guys, right here on Sacktown Sports. Great to be back at Sacktown Sports. Great to be back with Kyle Draper here at the Golden 1 Center. It's Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper, Drive, guys, here. And, Kyle, I got to tell you, I was, you know, back from Japan looking forward to the crossover today with my guys, Alan and Chris. And I don't know. I don't know. They just they blew it off, huh?
I don't know. Do they feel threatened or what? I don't know what's happening with those guys. You know, those are our guys, man.
I'm big fans. I listen every day. And I was listening today. They were talking about apparently Casey Schmidt of the Giants. Now, he is followed on Twitter by Shohei. So, you know. I don't know.
Is that what we're doing now? You know?
That's what I heard with Stiles and Watkins. But I'll tell you this, I was in Kyoto, and I bought some Japanese Baseball League hats from this guy. I bought the Oryx Braves, and I bought the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks, and I asked that guy that I bought the hats from, where is Shohei going? And he says Dodgers.
Really?
Yeah, but that's assuming that he had any idea what I was actually talking about.
Right,
exactly. I'm not sure what I asked him,
right.
But I think, if I asked him what I think I asked asked him, yeah, he's a show to the Dodgers. But how about that? Giants fans getting little early Christmas boost out of that notion.
I mean, if he goes to the Dodgers, that's like the worst case scenario,
yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
You can go to any other team.
Yes.
Just don't make it the Dodgers.
Uh-huh,
know?
Yeah. I've been assuming that's the case, but we'll see. I think he's going to take his time on that, too. Hey, as we get ready for the Kings tonight, we're basically 1 month into the NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. There was a piece today, I think it was, again, in The Athletic, the biggest concern for each NBA team 1 month in. For the Kings, they listed the defense. Would you agree that that's still 1 month in, their biggest concern?
Yeah, I still think that's a concern. Obviously, health. You know, but every team can say that. I think when you look at the Kings' defense, we're seeing some improvement there, Whitey. But, you know, it's still not, you know, top 15 or even middle of the pack right now. When you look at the Kings' defensive rating, as I pull it up right here.
19th right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, last check it was 19th. Yeah, still at 19th.
And they had been
upper
half.
Yeah, they were floating around 13,
yeah,
14, 15,
yeah.
You know. And so I think that has to improve. You know, I'm looking also, as great as the offense has been, especially lately, they're 28th in fast break points.
Mm.
As a team that wants to play fast, you
I
would
know.
Think that would be higher. Like,
yes.
It would be more. And so they got to figure that out as well.
Yeah. 19th, though, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. That's better than last year. You
yeah.
still want to see that get higher, but that's a what last year they're 27th, whatever they were. So
yeah,
progressing in that area.
Yeah, they're progressing. You know, and you talk to Mike Brown, and we've heard him. You know, if he's top 15, if you're a 15 or so, middle of the pack, that's good. They're close. They're inching there. But yeah, they need to improve on that end.
And especially it comes down to limiting paint points again, right?
Yeah,
still an issue for them.
Yes, limiting paint points. And that goes back to, you know, you look at, you know, a lot of people want to point at Domas as not being a shot blocking center. I could argue, you know, you need some better perimeter defense.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
It's like, don't put your center in a position to get scored on like we're seeing so far this season.
Yes, I'll say that till I'm blue in the face. The best rim protectors are the guards that keep the ball out of
yes.
paint in the first place.
Yes.
That's great rim protection. And expect a center to be like a goalie back there.
Right.
Spot shots. Speaking of blue, we do have a sea of blue here at the Golden One. It looks like T-shirts tonight. And I posted a picture on X of the scene here. Fans excited about the T-shirts for the most part. You still, Kyle, as we discussed earlier, hear from a few fans who say, I wish they were purple. But that's,
I like the blue.
Yeah.
You know, I was at Dick's Sporting Goods earlier, and they had the
what'd you get there?
Well, they didn't have any Niners jerseys,
oh,
actually,
okay.
Believe it or not. I went there first, and they didn't have any. Like, they didn't have a single shred of
sold
Niners.
Out after,
sold
yeah.
out after
yeah.
yesterday. All them bandwagon fans once again, you know. And so, but, you know, they had the Statement Edition, City Edition, whatever. Like, those look good, man. Those really look good. And I understand it's not purple or anything like that, but, you know, forget about that just for a second and appreciate the look of what they're wearing now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at the old Arco, the seats were blue. The actual seats were blue because when the Kings first came here in 85, they were blue and red. So it's a nice look. And, of course, we're familiar now with the in-season tournament court, the gray court with that blue beam running right down the middle. And the Kings, most importantly, they've played well in the in-season tournament uniforms.
No, and from what I see from Sacramento, and they make a point of this in the shoot-around and the film session, they know how big the in-season tournament is. Like, it's a priority for them. And fortunately, they played their best basketball this season in the in-season tournament games. You know, that win in Minnesota was massive.
Yeah.
That was a huge win for the Kings to get. And so I think they know what's at stake. You know, I think I said this on the air with you or maybe, you know, it was when you were gone.
Flyer.
Yeah, high flyer. Like, when you go to the film session, they talk about the $500,000 that each player could win. What you could do with $500,000. You could, you know, all the ice you could buy, mm-hmm. all the jewelry, mm-hmm. You know, all the people you could feed with $500,000.
By the way, broadcasters get
No, I don't get any.
What? Nothing?
Dude, don't get me started on that. The NBA is making billions on billions. Salaries have skyrocketed, but media salaries have gone down in the league. Like, where's our part of that, though? You know? It's like new television deal about to happen.
Yeah.
Can we see some of that? Don't get me started on that.
Wow. I'm sorry I brought that up, but I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that. Before we get any further, I wanted to ask, I know we touched earlier on the back and forth between Dre Greenlaw and your boy.
Dom.
Dom yeah.
DeSandro.
Dom DeSandro. Which beef do you, was there more to, which was a more legitimate beef, that or what we saw, I think it was Saturday, between Ime Udoka and LeBron James?
That's a great question because.
I know you, in all fairness, you brought it up.
Yeah.
What's beef?
What's beef?
Yeah. What's a beef?
What's beef? Jay, you got the music. I need music for this segment right here, Whitey.
Be careful with that music.
Because we saw a number of beefs happen over the weekend. Now, the Dre Greenlaw, Dom DeSandro beef, that was heat of the moment beef. That was, you know what, two rivals going at it. You know what? Like, outside of that game, they don't hate each other. There's no backstory or anything like that. But when you look at LeBron and Ime Udoka, somebody on the internet, on Twitter, did a deep dive, and they pulled up all the times Ime Udoka, who used to be a player,
right,
got schooled by LeBron James. There's LeBron dunking on Ime. There's LeBron blocking his shot. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some deep-seated beef between those two that goes back years. And for what Ime did, you know, I don't want to repeat the language here. It's a family program. But he told LeBron, stop acting like a bee.
Uh-huh.
You know, LeBron didn't take too kindly of that. Ime got tossed out.
To his credit, LeBron just said, hey, we're all grown men here. Don't throw that
word
around.
Don't throw that
word around. Somebody courtside recorded it.
Yeah, it's crazy how they can get the audio, leaked audio and everything like
that.
Not
like LeBron went after LeBron said, hey, watch your mouth.
Exactly. And Udoka got thrown out because it was his second technical. And so I'm a side with LeBron on this, you know. You start throwing around words like that, you got to remain professional. It'd be different if players get into it, but for a coach to come at a player like that or to talk like I'm a little.
Ime Udoka is he's a legitimate jerk. Because jerk's all I can say. When he was here, I mean, there's people, you could ask people, remember him when he was here? He's like, I didn't care for him.
Yeah. And even in Boston, when he was head coach there, you know, he rubbed his players the wrong way. Eventually, he got it turned around, but. No, you're right about that, man. And so I'm siding with LeBron on that.
I hate to do it, but I'm with you.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to side with LeBron, but there's no question.
You siding with Dom, my guy Dom?
No, I'm not.
I got one more beef with you. Not with you, but for you.
Okay.
Florida State.
Yeah.
In the college football playoff committee. Whose side are you on with that beef? Because their president wrote a scathing letter. How can you go undefeated? You're a Power 5 conference, and you win your conference championship, and you don't make it.
The only way you can say Florida State should not be in is to say the games don't matter.
Right.
Is that really what you want to say? The games don't matter. It's ludicrous that Florida State did not make the
what more can you do?
Playoff.
Right? What more can you do?
Well, their quarterback got hurt, you know.
Right. And what you're seeing is, and we knew this, Whitey, an SEC bias.
No question.
There was no way that they would leave out both Georgia and Alabama. There had to be one represented, no matter what. And the fact that it's Alabama, you know, Florida State goes undefeated. You know, Ohio State, one loss as well. It just, college football has an issue. And I'm siding with Florida State in this beef right here.
Yep. You know what? As long as the teams that are in the college football playoff, no matter how many teams you allow in, as long as ultimately it comes down to a committee, you're going to have these controversies.
Right. SEC champion, I get it. Like, I could argue Georgia still should be in there. They've been number one or number two all season long, and you lose by a field goal to Alabama. Like, what is going on here?
Right.
To me, I think you reward the teams who play the best, not just one weekend.
Right.
All season long.
It should
long.
Be Georgia because they're better than Alabama and Florida State.
And Florida
they
State.
Should be the two teams.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And Washington and Michigan, that should be your four. So that's the beef I'm on today, man.
All right.
Those
and
days.
You're still clinging to what is your take now on Dom DeSandro and that whole thing was
both guys were wrong. I said, I said both guys were wrong. When you look at the context of that game, people's emotions.
So it's a play on. You're like, we're good. We play on.
That's how I would do it.
Their linebacker got thrown out. Our security got thrown out. All right. You know, play on.
And if you want to find Dom, go ahead. You know, find him. But you know, I think if I'm taking into context everything that happened in that game, right from the opening jump, this thing was on a heater already between these two teams. So
I don't agree with you completely on that, but I understand where you're coming from. And I will say this, 49er fans have kind of a blind spot when it comes to Dre Greenlaw. It's similar to what I worked in Bay Area for a long time, to what a lot of Warrior fans have had over the years for Draymond Green. It's like you don't realize how much he's really hurting you.
Right.
Like what he did yesterday, oh, he plays with emotion. Okay, but that could have turned that whole game around. It didn't. How can you say, it's, you know, Dre's going to Dre. No, that can kill you at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to your Warriors point, they've enabled him, Draymond Green. And so I don't think Dre Greenlaw is as bad as Draymond, obviously. But we've seen historically him do some things that could hurt the team. And so they got away with it this week.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, you had an interesting conversation over the weekend with JaVale McGee.
Yes.
So we'll answer the question, when's the last time the Kings had this many dogs? Ooh. When we come back to the Golden One Center, the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason coming to you from the Golden One Center. We're going to get to the phones in just a moment. Also, look at how many dogs this Kings team has and how long it's been since they've had this many dogs. But, Kyle, you travel a lot more than I do. What's the longest you've ever been in a security line? Like getting ready for a flight? Because I know with the team, it's pretty quick, right?
The team, it's quick. I think, you know, so before I didn't have TSA pre-check and clear.
Yeah.
It was Denver. Denver's a notoriously rough airport.
Huge
you know,
airport.
You got multiple levels and everything. It was brutal. I mean, it was it was a good two-hour wait.
Two hours,
yeah,
okay.
It was a good two-hour wait.
Okay, because we were in Osaka a couple days ago, and it was like an hour 40, and I thought I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah. But,
and the thing was, it was moving, and it was still.
And it was still long, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those. I thought I was going to miss my flight in Denver. Did you?
Wow.
Were you concerned at all?
No, we had a big push, layover. But, it was worked out all right, so. Yeah, well, I guess I shouldn't complain if you had a two-hour layover at Denver Airport.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Todd joins us, wants to weigh in on Dre Greenlaw sideline situation. Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. What's up? Man?
Hey, I just got a couple questions. Question number one, are non-player, non-coaches allowed to be that close in an NFL game on the sideline? I mean, why was he even there? No, that's my first question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get he's had a security, but I thought only players and coaches could be that close or in that box that's outlined. That's my first question.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
I think it's a good point. Yeah,
and so it should have never happened, in my opinion. And I mean, I'm a Niner fan. I'll be honest, but I thought that was a horrible sequence. They should have 15-yard penalty all day long, but shouldn't have gotten ejected from the game. And then my other thing is 98 threw a punch at a Niner. He didn't get thrown out, and then A.J. Brown looked like he threw a punch at Ward on that extra point. So why didn't he get thrown out? Like,
good question, Todd. Good point.
We could do that all day long, man. We could do how come there wasn't a hold in the middle of the field on that.
No, but we're talking about fighting and punching. We're not talking about holds. We're talking about, like, you know, 15-yard unsportsmanlike ejections. So why?
I could argue the officials did not do a good job controlling that environment. On both ways, I could argue that.
You're on that, but 98 clearly threw a punch. I mean, that was I saw it real time. Like I don't. Why didn't the official see it? I mean,
Todd. Thanks very much for checking in. I think it's a great point about you know, how close the director of security to the sideline was for the Eagles. The league has to look at that at the very least. And if they, you know, if they do it beyond the scenes, fine. But it's like, dude, you cannot do that. They have to fine them. Or remove him from the sideline, whatever it takes. But I think as far as Dre Greenlaw goes, I mean, he wasn't ejected because of any punches. He's ejected because it was the takedown, the suplex, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
the
Eagles receiver, out of bounds. That's all that was, really.
Yeah, yeah. And you know,
I didn't like want to see it either, but he had that coming.
Yeah, like a Draymond Greenlaw. You know? Sort of, you know, like something Draymond would do. And so it was clearly after the fact, you know, you can't suplex a guy. So it was well deserved. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know Kyle Shanahan was upset that, hey, a guy who's not on the team can't stick his hand in somebody's face. Dre Greenlaw probably was going to get ejected even if
anyway,
that had happened.
Right, right. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
But Kyle says both were wrong.
Play
on. You lose your linebacker, you lose your director.
Right. I don't think anything further should happen. Maybe a fine, but, you know.
It is a good point you raised. I hadn't thought of that maybe the officials, they were almost, it was borderline that they were losing control
of
the game.
Yeah, it was.
It's not like they didn't know that was coming yesterday.
Exactly. And, you know, people are like, oh, y'all should talk more about the Niners so I could give it to Drapes. You missed the first hour and a half when people were lighting me up. Your boy is all pooped out. I'm tired, man. I'm tired of taking these shots.
Hey, that's a good point, though. I mean, the number's still 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We've given Kyle a little bit of a break here, a little bit of a respite as we focus on the game tonight. But, yeah, that's a very significant turn of events yesterday. I did want to take a moment, though, to ask you about the win over Denver, the Kings win over Denver. I know you had a really interesting conversation post-game with JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale McGee was huge in that game. I thought he was a game changer
that
game.
Kyle Draper has so many of these T-shirts, I'm surprised they still have enough to put out over all the
Dude,
seats.
Dude, I'm about to go around to the seats and grab a couple as well. But, Dre, you know, JaVale McGee was huge, man. Jokic came out on fire, dropped 16 in that first quarter, but JaVale came up with some block shots, some hustle plays, running the rim, 8 points in that second quarter. And so I just think he was a game changer, and it got me to thinking, and we had him on the postgame show on NBC Sports California, because earlier in the week me and High Flyer were talking about, man, the Kings, they got a lot of nice guys, but don't they need some dogs? Well, I got to thinking, JaVale's a dog, Malik, Fox. So I asked JaVale, you guys got some dogs on this squad, right?
Damn right, we got some real dogs in there, and we holding it. We barely holding on to the leash. You know what I'm saying? We ready to be let loose. So when he lets us loose, it's damage out there.
So let me put it in context, Whitey. We were talking with High Flyer last week, and you know we had Gary Payton on the show. We had Mitch Richmond on the show, and one of the things they talked about was how, you know, when you're facing a guy like Draymond, you need a Draymond type. You need a Tony Allen type. You need sort of an enforcer type. And we were saying, you know what? Yeah, this Kings team, a lot of nice guys, but who's that dog? But I saw some dog in Malik Monk out here the other night against Denver. JaVale McGee. De'Aaron Fox has an inner fire in him. Trey Lyles as well. So I don't know if we necessarily need a enforcer physically going to beat somebody up. I think these guys just have like an edge, a chip on their shoulder that they play with, which might be good enough.
I thought it was really interesting that before Malik Monk hit the game winner against the Warriors, Trey Lyles apparently called him aside on the sideline and basically told him to to get serious,
yes.
I guess is a good way to say it. And the fact that Trey Lyles, you know, because Monk is somebody who's not like, okay. Yeah, I mean, as you say, he's a dog himself. So for Trey Lyles to do that and then for him to respond, I think that was a real positive sign. But let me ask you this. In what way would you say this year's Kings, maybe they still need to do more work in that area, how are they more canine than last year's team? How many more dogs do they have than they had last year, and how important is that?
Well, I think it's huge. You know, one thing we're seeing from Sacramento, if they get down, they fight back. They don't just lie down and let you bully them and take over. You know, that's one encouraging thing. You know, with that being said, I do think they need to up the physicality. They need to play not necessarily with more of an edge, but with more of a presence defensively
That's what Mike Brown's been talking about since camp started.
Yeah, totally. You got to feel them. And you know, a lot of times, you know, when you look at teams, and this will be a good test tonight. That'll be something I'm watching about tonight. You know, when Zion is trying to go to the rim, like, you know, are you making him work for it, or is he just plowing right through you? You know, yeah, I think you need a physical presence out there, a physical toughness out there, or else you'll face the Pelicans of the world, the Rockets of the world.
Shoved around.
Yeah, you get shoved around. And so we're going to have Antonio Daniels, Pelicans analyst, coming up here next segment to talk about, you know, just the physicality needed at the NBA level. Because when you look at this Pelicans team, they're long, athletic. But I don't know if they have a physical. Valanchunas, I guess, can be physical. You look at a guy like Herb Jones, he can be physical. Mm-hmm. But they don't have like an Oakley type or anything like that.
Valanchunas is physical, but he's not. He's not out to hurt anybody.
Right, I mean, right. Exactly.
He's not malicious.
Yeah, he did hurt our boy Chimezie Metu a few years ago when he was with the Grizzlies. But yeah, I think you need, you know, ideally a wing or a big man that says, you know what, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Like De'Aaron Fox, we know he plays with the fire. He's slight of frame. Same with Malik Monk. You need a perimeter defender who won't get pushed around, who you can sick on, you know, a Paul George or something, or a Zion, and just really make life difficult for them. I don't think we have that yet.
So we got Antonio Daniels coming up?
Yeah, he's right there. He's all right. Clean and everything.
Yeah.
AD, you good? Next segment, we're going to take this break. And then, you good?
All right. Yeah.
He's hanging out. Yeah, let's bring on AD next segment.
Pelicans analyst Antonio Daniels, what, 14 years in the NBA?
Yeah, 14-year bet.
He joins us next here from the Golden One. It's Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Coming to you from the Golden One Center, get ready for the Kings and the Pelicans in the in-season tournament knockout round. It's a Drive Guys, and nice enough to join us. Outstanding TV analyst for the Pelicans. I believe he was a first-round pick of the Vancouver Grizzlies,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Antonio Daniels, how are you, sir?
I am truly blessed. I'm not supposed to be talking to y'all. We ain't supposed to be friends today.
Nah, man.
We ain't supposed to be cool today.
There's no beef here, right?
No, ain't no beef. Ain't no beef, but we ain't supposed to be cool today. Tomorrow? We all good, right?
Now, you were just telling us you were watching you were watching the Warriors and the Kings, and you were unhappy with the way the Kings were playing early in that game.
Yeah. This in-season tournament's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
And I especially love this part because now it's more of a NCAA style. But I'm sitting there, and the Pelicans, after Dallas beat Houston, now we knew that we were into the quarterfinals. We just didn't know
where
it was going to be, Sacramento or it's going to be Golden State. But there were so many different scenarios. If Golden State wins by this much and they lose by this much,
yeah.
And if they win, so it got to a point where I knew that if Sacramento won the game by 11 points, if Golden State won the game by 11 points or less, we would have hosted.
Oh, I see.
So you were ready for that.
I was. Because you know what we did? We played the Chicago Bulls on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And left after the game. And had a four-hour flight here after the Chicago Bulls game on Saturday.
Y'all been here this whole time?
What?
Oh, yeah, because y'all didn't go back. Yeah, so y'all got, man, what time did you get in?
Like two?
Yeah.
And think about 2 o'clock West Coast time.
Right.
It's 4 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Yeah.
So yesterday was really a day off, like for everyone, just to kind of
I was wondering, did
recover.
They practice or anything?
No.
Or not?
Yesterday was a day off, a day of recovery.
So this is your third game in four nights tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, four games in six.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What you said we're not supposed to be hanging out. We're not supposed to. You're right. I remember the trip to New Orleans. Outside of the food, it was a house of horrors for my squad.
Yeah.
We got our butts handed to us down there. What did you see those two games, and what are you looking for tonight in this matchup?
You know, I'm not going to say. Let's take the bias out,
okay?
Let's take the bias out. There are certain teams, for whatever reason, that are a tough matchup because of the way their roster's constructed, right?
Yeah.
So when I look at the Sacramento Kings, I always, anytime the Pelicans play against someone, always the first thing I look at is, okay, who do they have to guard Zion and who do they have to guard Brandon Ingram? And when you look at the Sacramento Kings team, they don't have a physical matchup for Zion. They don't have rim protection. Zion is a in-the-paint presence. And if you don't have rim protection, that becomes problematic. If you don't have someone with a little bit of size and physicality on your perimeter to throw at Brandon Ingram, that can become problematic. So when I look at this Sacramento Kings team, as good as they are, and I honestly feel like De'Aaron Fox is incredible is an understatement, but it may be a tough matchup for – I'm not saying the Sacramento Kings can't win, But I'm saying the Pelicans matchup present a tough presence, paint presence matchup for the Sacramento Kings.
Antonio McDaniel's nice enough to join us
here. Antonio Daniels.
Yeah, me
and Xavier McDaniel.
Yeah, I apologize. Antonio Daniels with us. How big is this chance to advance in the in-season tournament for the Pelicans?
Honestly, it's big because I think it kind of – when you have a young team, these things matter. Like, I think it's different for Sacramento because Sacramento, you guys went to the playoffs last year, pushed the Golden State Warriors to 7 games, and honestly, I said on my SiriusXM show numerous times, if De'Aaron Fox doesn't get hurt, y'all advance. If he doesn't get hurt, y'all advance. So this is not really a step up for you guys. But for the New Orleans Pelicans, a team that was 2 games over .500 last year and was the only team last year who was above .500 that didn't make the playoffs. So this is, for a young team, this is a confidence builder now moving forward.
Should be a big one. You see we got the blue out here. Everybody will be wearing blue T-shirts. You know, when I look at this Pelicans team, we had a discussion earlier. We're trying to figure out who are you guys, you know? Are you a contender? Do you need more seasoning? What do you think? Now that CJ's back, what are you seeing from your team, and what kind of identity do you guys have?
I think the identity is inconsistent because the guys that you have on the floor are inconsistent.
Right.
Right? What you would love to see, what Pelicans fans would love to see, is the top 7 or 8 guys being available on a consistent basis. Then you can make a proper assessment. It's tough. Like, the Sacramento Kings last year, the reason that you guys had the season you guys had is because your top 7 or 8 played 74 games or more. You know, there's, Kyle, you know, there's nothing more important in this league than health. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care the chemistry you have. If guys aren't available, you're going to have problems, right? And Zion's played 29 games over the last 2 seasons. Yep. Last year, B.I. played 44 games. So this year, Zion's missed a few games. B.I.'s missed a few games. Trey Murphy just returned.
Just came back.
You know, C.J. just returned. Jose was out for a significant amount of time. So it's hard to say what the identity is because this team has not been together long enough to create one.
Antonio Daniels with us. So you look at your club, and if you look at the numbers, and it, you know, it's early in the season, they're middle of the pack in a lot of things. What's one thing you would say the Pelicans do extremely well night in, night out?
Paint presence. And I think anytime you have a guy like Zion who's going to be top 3 in the league in points in the paint every season, along with guys like De'Aaron Fox, along with guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, that has to be a piece of your presence. But there's another side of it, because this team has always lacked balance. So you can have the paint presence, but you need the shooting to go along with it. There's no more desired skill in today's NBA than shooting. So now adding Trey Murphy, adding Jordan Hawkins, adding C.J. McCollum alongside those guys creates a tough matchup for a lot of teams. But again, those guys have to be available.
Got to be healthy. I think, you know, we were saying it. You guys just need bodies on the floor. Y'all got to get that time together, that seasoning. I mean, because you look at the roster,
we're deep.
Yeah, you're deep. It's a stacked roster. You know, let's go on the other side. When you talk about the Sacramento Kings and look at them, things changed when Mike Brown came in. I know you're very close with Mike Brown. He was a coach on that Spurs team you won a championship with. When you look at what Mike Brown's done, what stands out to you?
I tell you what I love about Mike Brown. As a analyst now, and with the way that today's NBA is constructed, you always wonder, is it really possible to hold players accountable? Is that a real thing, or is that a myth? Right? Is that something that you can do in the 80s and the 90s? But the fact that Mike Brown has the players on his roster and has a team constructed where he can hold guys accountable, where guys want to be Coach Hart. De'Aaron Fox wants to be Coach Hart. Domas Sabonis wants to be Coach Hart. Malik Monk, he wants to be Coach Hart. For me, I love that. I love when a coach has developed a culture of accountability, not just spoken about it, not just talking about it, but he can actually do it. And that's the difference for me with this team. Mike Brown coaches these guys and holds them to a standard. And when they don't accomplish that standard, he is not afraid to call them out. But the thing is, they respond in the right way.
Right.
Now, to me, and I never played in the league, obviously, to me, the players deserve a ton of credit for that, too, because you got to have the right guys who will look at that, as you've been on teams who have done it, look at that and go, okay, I'm in for the good of the team.
When I was with the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich, I have seen him curse out Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Mario Elie, Sean Elliott. Go down the list. Avery Johnson. But it wasn't the fact that he was coaching them out, cursing them out. It was their response. So now you see Tim Duncan, the best power forward in the world, David Robinson, top 50 all time, Mario Elie, two-time champion, Steve Kerr, four-time champion, and the way they responded. Now, if I'm coming off the bench, I better respond the right way too, because those guys set the standard. In today's NBA, if your top guys are on board, you're going to succeed. If they're on board with what the coach is trying to accomplish, they're going to succeed. But as we see, there are a lot of teams in this league where the top guy is not really on board. The Sacramento Kings, they have Domas Sabonis on board. They have De'Aaron Fox on board, Malik Monk on board. As long as you have that, you'll be good.
Sacramento coming off a big win against Denver right here in this building Saturday night, Antonio. When you look at the Western Conference, you know, Kings finished third last year, 48 wins. We're hoping to take it a step farther. How do you handicap the Western Conference? Is it Denver and everybody else?
I don't think so. I don't think so. To me, this is the deep the West has ever been, right? Because even when you look at the top 13 teams, and I'm taking out San Antonio and I'm taking out Portland,
right?
Yep. Outside of that, you on any given night, these teams can beat you. And honestly, you can put San Antonio in there because of Victor Wembanyama. We saw them go down to Phoenix and win twice, right? When you step in the Western Conference on a night-to-night basis, Houston ain't what they were last year. These teams ain't tanking them.
Yeah, they're
right?
playing hard.
They're playing hard because Victor Wembanyama's not available, right? Obviously, right now, Memphis is down bad because no Ja Morant, no Brandon Clark, no Steven Adams. So it's a matter of time before they kind of find their stride again. But there is no night off in the Western Conference.
Antonio, you talked about how the Pelicans pose some matchup problems for the Kings. How about the other way around? Who on the Kings poses the most issues for your club?
Well, for me, De'Aaron Fox poses a matchup problem for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a New Orleans Pelicans issue. This is an NBA issue.
Yeah.
And you could argue right now that Malik Monk has been their second best player for about the past five or six games. But De'Aaron Fox is you know how
there's is it the speed? What makes
okay. Him so here's the thing. There are always players that you say, man, if this guy gets this, it's over, right? So with Giannis, we say if he gets that 15 to 17 foot jump shot, it's a wrap.
Yep.
With De'Aaron Fox, the knock has always been, man, if he knocks down that 3-point shot with regularity, it is over. And now he's doing it. Now he's doing it. So now you can't just go under screens on him anymore and meet him on the side. De'Aaron Fox, you have to cover De'Aaron Fox, even though he's much smaller, with the same defensive concepts and principles that you cover Giannis Antetokounmpo with. If it's one-on-one, if it's one-on-two, if it's one-on-three, that's not enough. You have to get five guys back and build a wall. But that's what makes this team so good, because now they have surrounded De'Aaron Fox with guys with the ability to shoot the ball.
Yes.
And that's why with this team, with the Harrison Barnes, with the Kevin Herters, with these guys, Malik Monk, these guys that can really shoot the ball, it comes down to me, if the Sacramento Kings are knocking down 3-point shots, that's a problem.
Antonio Daniels.
Night.
Yeah, night. My last question, AD, I know you got to get ready for the game. You know, when you look at what you guys do defensively, you're one of the top teams at defending the three. The Kings rely heavily on the three. Is that the number you're looking at? Is that the matchup you're looking at tonight?
Yes, for the Pelicans defensively. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to have guys that you can throw at De'Aaron Fox. And we have two of them.
Yep.
We have two really good perimeter defenders. One of them is the best perimeter defender in the league in Herb Jones. Right? So he has to stay out of foul trouble. But then you also have Dyson Daniels.
Yep.
So you have guys with length, with a defensive IQ, athletic ability, long wingspans, and with very active hands. So you have different guys that you can throw at De'Aaron Fox, and that's one of the reasons that this team is better as far as defending the three is concerned, because they do a good job of individually keeping guys in front of them and not getting this team caught in rotation.
Right. You don't have to help as much.
Right.
Antonio Daniels, thanks so much. We appreciate your time very much.
For sure.
Why aren't
you
coaching with as much as you know about the game? Why aren't you coaching?
I don't know. I think I'm right where God wants me right now.
A lot less stressful, man. That's for sure. AD, appreciate you, brother.
Yeah,
man.
Appreciate
you
very much. We'll be back. Drive Guys with more from the Golden One Center. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.